Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I was just catching up with our friend David Noble, great lawyer here in Montana, joins us on the show from time to time, does a great job filling in as the guest host always as well. But I said, hey, I'm going to be catching up with Congressman Troy Downing from the Eastern Congressional District. What should I ask him about? You know, aside from, several topics that I had already planned. He said, oh, ask him about his bill to increase the statute of limitations so that they can go after all of these COVID fraudsters. So I'm like, oh, that's a good one. And thankfully, right here, our producer, Caden, printed up a story from Western Montana News about that very bill. Anyway, great to have Congressman Troy Downing with us here live on Montana Talks. Congressman, you would have wished you were in the studio with us here, because just a few minutes ago, we just had a flyby of the tower. A hot air balloon just came within, like, I'd say 50 feet or less of the tower. So you missed the flyby.
Was there Chinese intel hanging from the bottom of that?
No, but there was some invaders from Riverton, Wyoming that were on board. It was pretty cool.
Pretty funny.
They literally, you can check the video out on X right now. I mean, you just see the balloon just right below us here. I could have hopped on.
I got to tell you, Aaron, and since we're talking about balloons, I've had a number of my new colleagues here in Congress ask me why the heck I didn't shoot that balloon down when it was flying over Montana.
So, I was going to say, you got your own fighter jet. We could have just put you up in the sky and taken that thing out.
Yeah, but I think one of the issues is we didn't see it until it was over Billings, obviously, with that very now famous photograph. Thanks to Billings, Montana, for bringing that out. Because if that didn't happen, I'm pretty convinced that the Biden administration, in spite of all their other failures, would have just swept that under the rug, and we wouldn't even know that it happened.
Matt, it's amazing what all they swept under the rug. I mean, could you imagine if we lifted that rug up? And all the bugs and the cockroaches,
yeah,
and the grime.
You're gonna find more than just dust bunnies under there. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, look at what Tulsi Gabbard is just. She just lifted up a corner of the rug and was like, "Oh my goodness, look at this."
Yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that even when Trump was first coming in, that the Obama administration had directed intelligence to keep Trump, who was the president-elect, intentionally in the dark about what was going on. I mean, there's just so much dirt under there.
Yeah. Well, so much to talk about here this morning with Congressman Troy Downing. One big topic, I think I saw this reported by E&E News, which is kind of like an environmental energy kind of publication. But one thing we want to talk about are these resource management plans and what the Biden administration did to undermine our American energy economy, and oftentimes they will also use these resource management plans to erode your access to your own so-called public lands as well. Congressman Downing, I know, has taken the lead on that effort, so we'll get his take on what's going on there, plus the COVID fraudsters. And I really want to get his take on this whole cryptocurrency thing and this major legislation that just got across the finish line, because crypto is kind of like a foreign language to me, but he gets it.
It's July 24th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Amelia Earhart Day. The pioneering female aviator and author was born on this day in 1897. One of her greatest achievements was her solo crossing of the Atlantic in 1932, becoming the first woman and first person since Charles Lindbergh to make the nonstop flight. Tragically, while trying to circumnavigate the globe in 1937, Earhart's plane disappeared over the Pacific near Howland Island. However, today is meant to honor her many achievements as she continues to inspire generations of women to become flyers. Also on this date, in 1969, the astronauts of NASA's Apollo 11 mission returned to Earth after their successful trip to the moon, where Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the lunar surface. The two men, along with Command Module pilot Michael Collins, returned as heroes. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Wonder Woman actress Linda Carter, born in 1951. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Dustin.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, the other thing that David Noble and I talked about off air is the rescissions package and getting more spending cuts across the finish line. But on top of the one big beautiful bill and the successful effort to get that across the finish line, House Republicans also initiated the successful effort to now cut an additional $9 billion through the rescissions package. Hopefully the sign of more rescissions packages to come. Congressman Downing, I think Speaker Johnson has been talking about that there's a more rescissions package plans in the works as we speak.
Well, I think that every American knows that we have a spending problem. And I think that's why President Trump won by such a big margin, and obviously won the popular vote and beat everyone's expectations, because people know we have a spending problem. And he campaigned on cutting spending, cutting taxes, we need to do that. This is, this most recent rescissions package, I think it was about $9 billion. Is a drop in the bucket. We need to keep moving forward. The president knows that. Congress knows that. We need to keep finding this fraud, waste, and abuse. And some of the stuff that is being cut, if you look at this stuff, is it in the interest of the American people to be sending Big Bird, to Iraq? Does that make sense? Or doing LGBTQ studies, in the Middle East? Or there's just so many programs that I'm sure there's somebody that is really interested in having that done. But is that something that taxpayers should be paying for? And I think the president and Congress has given a resounding no. We shouldn't be paying for that. We need to start cutting that stuff back. So this first rescissions package is a good start. But I think you can expect to see, not just on rescissions packages, but also, as Speaker Johnson has alluded to, further reconciliation bills, so that we can start cutting more spending. And for those who haven't been tracking, a reconciliation bill is a tool that we have at our disposal when we've got the majority in the House and the Senate, where we can get something through if it's strictly about spending, strictly about money, with a simple majority, rather than requiring 60 votes in the Senate to get it through. So it's a tool that we have that obviously has a shelf life, and we're taking advantage of it now. We're going to continue doing that because we need to cut spending, because we're taking ourselves off of a fiscal cliff.
Yeah, I mentioned, cryptocurrency. It's kind of like a foreign language to me. There's some people that really get all into this crypto thing. It's still like a foreign language to me. Luckily, I think you actually speak a few foreign languages, including crypto. But I know this is one of the big topics you've been talking about, is the need to establish a framework for crypto so that the United States remains the global leader in things just like this. And that's something that got across the finish line.
And I know there's a lot of folks that this is, like you said, a foreign language to them. But, I'm going to make some of this as simple as I can. One of the bills that we passed was the Genius Act. And basically, that's for a dollar-backed cryptocurrency. And so what that does is it allows for transactions to happen without using traditional banks, like, not using your debit card or your credit card. It allows transactions outside of the system, which could theoretically, give more opportunity and be less expensive. But one of the things that I think people will be really interested in this, because whether you use that or not, it's coming, and it's happening now, and it's across the globe. And one of the biggest things that I think is important to note on the Genius Act is that it requires on a stablecoin, which is an asset-backed cryptocurrency, it requires that the backing be either a U.S. dollar or a U.S. dollar derivative. So it encourages around the globe folks doing transactions with these stablecoins to actually have reserves in dollars, which strengthens our global position. We want the dollar to remain the global trading currency and the global reserve currency. So that does a lot for that. And so just one other thing on the bigger framework, which is the Clarity Act, is it just puts, clarity into what a cryptocurrency is. And again, whether it's something that you invest in or use or are interested in is besides the point. We had that giant meltdown about 2 years ago with FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. He was encouraged to build his company in the Bahamas offshore to escape, regulatory scrutiny in the United States. And there was no, under Biden's SEC with Gary Gensler, there was no clarity on what cryptocurrency was, which encouraged innovation offshore. And we saw the whole thing just come crashing down. So this puts some basic sideboards to make sure we don't have a meltdown, but also gives clarity so that folks wanting to develop in this space can do it in the United States so that we continue to innovate here.
Well, and that interest... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Aaron, but one last thing that I want to say, because here's something that I'm sure a lot of your listeners are concerned about, and this is another thing that we did, is the Republican Conference is strongly opposed, every one of us, to having a central bank digital currency, the CBDC. And I know there's a lot of folks that are really worried about that. This is something that, communist Chinese do to track the spending habits of their subjects. And we wanted to make sure that never happened in the United States of America. So we passed, it was Tom Emmer's bill, it was an anti-CBDC bill to make sure that we never have a central bank digital currency.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, I was going to bring that up because, we brought it up on the radio last week while we were tracking this in real time. And one of our listeners said, well, what about this CBDC? I had heard that was included in there. I said, no, House Republicans just blocked that. That was also signed into law. And remember, it came up in the Montana legislature as well. People were concerned that there was a bill that would have helped establish the framework for a CBDC in Montana, and the Republican legislature, like the Republican Congress now, said heck no to that. All right, more to follow with Congressman Troy Downing. I want to talk about these resource management plans and much more. Stand by. Back to it. Plus, if you want to jump in on the conversation with a quick question or comment, call 294-0970.
Fox Sports Update.
From center field, heading for the seats, reaching him again.
Call on Sportsnet LA. Los Angeles Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani is red hot at the plate. With his solo blast in the first inning on Wednesday, he tied a Dodgers franchise record, homering in his fifth straight game, his 37th of the year, as the Dodgers beat the Minnesota Twins 4-3. Elsewhere, several teams completed series sweeps yesterday. The New York Mets, the Houston Astros, the Texas Rangers, the Cleveland Guardians, and the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates sweep came against the best team in baseball in the Detroit Tigers. It's been a roller coaster season for Pittsburgh. They are the first team to sweep the best team in the league and get swept by the worst team in the league in back-to-back series since the 1980 San Diego Padres. NFL news. The Green Bay Packers revealing Wednesday that their national revenue sharing from the previous fiscal year improved to $432.6 million. The Green Bay Packers are the only publicly owned team in the league and are therefore required to reveal their financial statement every year. It gave some insight as to how popular the NFL actually is, and crunching the numbers reveals that the league's 32 teams shared more than $13 billion in revenue last year. Some news out of training camps on Wednesday. Arizona Cardinals rookie defensive tackle Walter Nolan III will miss the start of training camp as he deals with a calf injury that he suffered while training in the offseason. Nolan was selected 16th overall in this year's draft. It's unclear how exactly he'll be out for. And Denver Broncos head coach Sean Payton revealed Wednesday that quarterback Bo Nix has been meeting with former quarterback Drew Brees in the offseason ahead of his sophomore campaign. Brees spent 15 of his 20 seasons playing for Payton as a member of the New Orleans Saints and is one of two QBs in NFL history to surpass 80,000 career passing yards. I'm Tony Genualdo.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, so a quick clarification here. I was chatting with Congressman Downing during the break off air a little bit there. So the Genius Act has been signed into law, dealing with, you know, cryptocurrency, regulatory framework, et cetera. But I mentioned, I think I briefly mentioned that the anti-CBDC had been signed into law. That the Republicans in the House passed it through the House, but it still needs to go to the Senate. So that one has not been signed into law yet. So thanks to Congressman Downing for the quick clarification on that one for me and for our wider audience here as well. Congressman Down, talk about these Biden land use plans, these resource management plans. You know, we talk about the declassified documents now showing how Obama manufactured intelligence to justify the coup against his predecessor, or against his successor, President Donald J. Trump. But the reality, and then the deep state went to war with the president of the United States. But the reality is Montanans have been familiar with the deep state for decades now. They will use things like resource management plans to shut down our industries or to shut down our access. And I understand land use plans in Alaska, Montana, and North Dakota have been in your crosshairs this week in particular.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the Biden administration was waging war against traditional energy, traditional natural resources. They had their aspirations on the Green New Scam, and clearly that was not in anybody's interest, and especially not in our interest here in Montana, and not in the interest of this nation in terms of energy dominance and national security. So what we've been fighting back is all of these restrictions on mining our traditional, you know, coal, traditional, doing our traditional fossil fuel extraction in Montana. So one of the things that I had a CRA that unfortunately we're not voting on it now until after the August recess, but I was told by Scalise just reached out to me yesterday, said it's going to come as soon as we get back into session. But that's undoing this restriction on mining coal in the Powder River Basin. And so that CRA is in the hopper. I am 100% sure that that is going to get passed. And one of the things nice about a CRA, that's a Congressional Review Act, it allows us to unroll within, you know, certain parameters certain policies from the previous administration, as long as they're within a certain time frame. And we can do that with a simple majority in the Senate. So that's one of these tools where we don't need the 60 votes in the Senate. So I'm confident that this is going to become law, and we're going to unlock that. And it's incredibly meaning to Montana. You know, this is about 38 billion short tons of coal, which is about $46 million in annual state revenue. It's also about a $15 million going into the Treasury to help everything else we're, you know, trying to pay for and make sense of in the federal government. So this is good for Montana. This is good for the United States of America, and it's unrolling some of these disastrous policies that were anti-traditional energy from the Biden administration.
Yeah, it's great news. So many things to talk about here with Congressman Downing. Before I forget, I asked David Noble, hey, what would be something good to ask a Congressman Downing about? Well, here's the headline in the Western Montana News. Roy McKenzie and his crew doing a great job pumping out information there. Downing bill gives prosecutors more time to pursue $200 billion in COVID fraud. There were fraudsters across the board taking advantage of the COVID funds that were kicked out there. And, these people need to be held accountable. That money needs to be reined in. So it sounds like this is an effort that would extend the statute of limitations.
Yes, Aaron, this is, I just want to be clear. This is your money. This is my money. This is your listeners' money. This is the taxpayers' money that was stolen, outright stolen. They used this horrible, you know, I mean, we're still having a little bit of shock from what happened in this country during the COVID pandemic, but they used that to basically defraud the U.S. government, me, you, your listeners, every taxpayer out there out of $200 million. And the problem is investigating this, you know, takes time, and we're hitting our heads against the 5-year statute of limitations. So my bill will extend that to 10 years so that we can investigate, prosecute, and recover this money that was stolen from me, you, your kids, and your listeners.
Well, and there was so much about all that COVID garbage that was fraud, of course. You know, so when you talk about going after COVID fraudsters, of course, it brings to mind Fauci and the rest of them here. Back to the Natural Resources Committee, the House Committee on Natural Resources. You were talking about HJ House Joint Resolution 104 that you've sponsored here to basically, you know, overturn that resource management plan for the Miles City Field Office. I saw earlier this week in the House Natural Resources Committee, it was a subcommittee on oversight and investigations. Montana's own Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA, testified there. She's going to join us later on in the 9 o'clock hour. And the chairman of the Crow Tribe also testified there. And he had some powerful comments during that subcommittee.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, this is a huge problem. I got to tell you, I've got a good relationship with Chairman White Clay and also with Ms. Zinn, and I was so happy to see them on the stand there to try to, you know, shed some light on this problem. And I've been talking about this, you know, for a long time. There's this weird nexus of law enforcement capability, and these cartels are moving in and around Indian country and just wreaking havoc. And having, you know, Stacy's expertise on the drug enforcement side, and having, you know, Chairman White Clay's and also Chief Roberge's background on what's actually happening on tribal land is really important, because let's be clear, this is not just an issue that's affecting these tribal communities. This is making it into Billings. This is making it into Great Falls. This is making it across the state and causing trouble, because we have these issues with lack of boots on the ground, lack of funding, lack of oversight, and this ambiguous jurisdiction on who has the authority to be dealing with this. So these are really, really important conversations. My only regret in that hearing is that I was limited to 5 minutes, and I had so much more I wanted to get out in that hearing, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of follow-up, because having this this information from folks that are boots on the ground, such as Ms. Zinn and, you know, these tribal members, is just incredibly useful to get that out in the open in Congress so that we can start finding solutions to solve this problem, because it's not just hurting tribal communities, it's hurting all of us.
That's right, but I thought it was very interesting that the tribal chairman not only talked about how the Mexican drug cartels have been targeting Native Americans, targeting the reservations, because other tribal leaders like the Fort Peck Reservation and others have talked about that. You've had other tribal leaders like Fort Belknap, et cetera, who've talked about the need for more federal law enforcement on the reservations that were absolutely, you know, needs that were completely ignored by Joe Biden and John Tester while they unleashed illegal aliens all over this country. And it shows that these problems remain, and why the efforts of Tom Homan and the rest of the crew are so important, that we support ICE and support our Border Patrol agents. But I thought it was interesting that he also said that, yes, the southern border is secure now, but our northern border is getting exploited by the criminal element. Yeah. And then he talked about how the Crow Reservation is ground zero for the missing and murdered indigenous women epidemic, and how a majority of the missing persons cases that they've investigated have been with drugs. So isn't it interesting? The drug cartels are flooding in, and then most of the missing, murdered indigenous women cases involve drugs. You never hear that in the liberal media.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. Well, a couple of things to unpack there. First of all, you know, I sit on the Northern Border Caucus. It's obviously important to Montana. It's important to this nation to understand what's happening there, because when we see a lot of the cartel stuff is coming from the southern border, but a lot of the persons of interest that want to hurt this nation or are coming from places that are adversarial to this nation are coming across that northern border. So it's something that we need to be looking at very, very closely. But, you know, some of the stuff that we're talking about, like you just mentioned, down on the Crow Reservation with the, you know, that being ground zero for the drugs and the missing and murdered indigenous women, which is just absolutely horrible. Yes, we need to start finding solutions for that. When you find something where you've got, you know, very few federal law enforcement to cover so much ground and so many people, it's just inadequate. And one of the issues that I kept running into is I talked to these folks, sometimes they wouldn't even bother arresting him, because if it was a federal issue, they'd have to wait for a federal officer to show up, who would sometimes, you know, just not show up. So I actually had a very direct conversation with the FBI maybe 2 weeks ago, saying, how do we solve this problem of making sure that if somebody in a tribal community arrests somebody on a federal crime, that we have somebody from the feds there that can take care of it. So that conversation is happening.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember talking with the sheriff in Toole County, Shelby, you know, Cut Bank area, et cetera. And the sheriff told me, he says, we would arrest these illegal aliens, and the Biden regime would just throw them right back out onto the streets. Obviously, that has changed now. About a minute to go here. Congressman Downing, appreciate your time this morning. What else is going on back in Washington, D.C., that you think might be of interest to our listeners back here in Montana?
Well here's the thing. You know, I came into a lot of dysfunction in D.C., and the Republican conference is trying to rein that in, get back to regular order, get back to actually appropriating 12 appropriations bills. And, you know, we're making a lot of progress there, but there's still a lot of work that needs to happen. So we're going to really be focusing on getting these appropriate bills through. We're going to take a couple more bites of the apple in cutting spending, you know, with not just precisions, but with possibly another reconciliation bill, like the big, beautiful bill. There's a lot of work in front of us, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of energy of getting Congress back on track so that we are going through regular order and doing things how we're supposed to.
All right, Congressman Downing, appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. And then coming up after the break here, we've got another great guest joining us this hour of this show. In fact, President Trump had nominated her to be the head of the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management. But when it comes to unleashing American energy and fighting for real access to our so-called public lands, Kathleen Sagama is one of those who's been in that fight for decades now. Used to be with the Western Energy Alliance, but she's got a new organization you're going to want to hear about. Stand by.
What if
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we had a great guest on the show earlier in the week, Teresa Platt, the author of this new book that really, even though it's a fiction book, it really exposes the mismanagement of our federal land management agencies and the undue influence of the radical environmental extremists inside the deep state that's really destroyed American industry, the timber industry, gone after American energy, and taken away your access to your so-called public lands. And so that was a great guest earlier in the week, and we got that guest on the show thanks to our friend William Perry Penley, who's been a great fighter for those of us here in the West all the way since the Reagan administration. And, of course, Perry Penley was acting director of the Bureau of Land Management in the first Trump administration. Then it was great to see that President Trump had nominated Kathleen Sagama to be the director of the Bureau of Land Management. But anyway, Kathleen Sagama, you probably know her name because for many years she worked with, I think if I'm remembering right, it was the Western Energy Alliance, fighting for those of us here in the West and our economies. But she's now launched a brand new organization, and I got an email from her the other day talking about this this pro-multiple-use organization, and I said, Kathleen, we got to get you on the show. You want to join us on the show? She's now with us. So, Kathleen, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for responding to my email and for having me on today.
Yeah, so tell us about your organization before I take us in, you know, random directions.
Well, I am interested, as you said, in continuing to promote multiple use on non-federal and federal lands. That's my 20-year career at Western Energy Alliance, was ensuring responsible development for oil and natural gas on appropriate federal lands. And so I've been kind of developed an expertise in those natural resource and public lands issues, which was acknowledged when the president nominated me for the BLM director.
You know, it's funny, when you're in a place like Montana, and you've probably seen it down in Colorado or Wyoming and places like that, but it's always kind of funny because people, you know, they'll go out camping, and whether they're in a tent or they're in a camper or on national forest land or BLM land or state land, or, you know, if they're out in the trees, if they're out in the woods, or if they're out kind of away from the cities, they'll say, hey, I'm out here enjoying the wilderness. And I'm not knocking people who say that, but when you mention wilderness, it has a legal definition. There are a lot of things you can't do in official wilderness. And so, but that's why the whole concept of multiple use is so important. And Teddy Roosevelt, you know, was all about multiple use. Look, there's some lands where we're going to need that for mining. There's some that we're going to need it for timber. There's some lands that are going to be, you know, suited for this, suited for that. And these so-called public lands are only truly public if we treat them like the multiple use lands they are supposed to be. But we've got radical environmental groups constantly trying to not only shut down industry, but also working to shut down access to some of these same lands for hunters and others.
Absolutely. They wish to treat all public lands as if they are indeed wilderness, as if they're locked off from any productive use. And, of course, we have tens of millions of acres, hundreds of millions of acres, actually, that are closed off to development completely. There are 110 million acres of wilderness. There are 85 million acres of national parks. And then there are roadless areas, about 64 million acres of roadless area in forests. So there are all kinds of lands that are indeed set aside. You can't mine or ranch or you know, energy development. But there are also hundreds of millions of acres of working landscapes all across the West. And I know you know that. I know Westerners know that. But I think it's important to point out that these lands are designated through an appropriate and public land use management process. And they're planned, and some areas are shut aside, and you can't do oil and gas development or whatever. But some areas, many areas, are appropriate for ranching and mining and timber, et cetera. And so that's where I have been dedicating my last 20 years, and I look to do that moving forward with Multiple Use Advocacy, my new organization.
We just spoke with Congressman Troy Downing from the Eastern Montana Congressional District, and he's working right now to repeal some of these Biden-era resource management plans, especially, you know, here in Montana, where they're locking up nearly 3 million acres of land and then another near 12 million acres of mineral estate here in Montana, all designed to shut down American energy. So they're working to overturn that right now. And then on the western side of the state, we've had such incredible news. We had the chief of the Forest Service out here with Governor Greg Gianforte talking about ramping up timber production on federal lands. The repeal of the roadless initiative is huge. It's important for access to public lands. It's also important for, you know, rural Montana roads. It's also important, not just from access and road standpoint, but also important for our timber industry and making the timber industry great again. What has stood out to you with the first 6 months that you've seen of the Trump administration thus far?
Well, we've had several executive orders and secretarial orders that are getting us on the right path. But there's a lot of hard work that needs to be done to actually make sure these policies get put in place and that are, they're durable. So one thing you mentioned was the Congressional Review Act that is intended to overturn three resource management plans. That's, you know, when something goes through Congress, that is very durable, obviously. But short of that, there is a lot of work that needs to be done by the Bureau of Land Management, and it's technical, it's getting the National Environmental Policy Act analysis done, getting the rules done, and it requires going through rulemaking. And you really need a leader over at BLM to kind of crack the whip and actually get those policies through. And that's what I'm a little bit concerned about, is they still haven't nominated someone else, and that process takes months. So without a nomination, we're looking at the entire year being with BLM not having an appointee. And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done. It's very technical. It really requires somebody with the know-how to do it. So I'm hoping in my new role I can help from the outside as much as I can, but also help clients, you know, with their issues of trying to develop on federal lands. Even though we've got the right political will coming down, we have this Unleashing American Energy agenda and this, you know, productive use of federal lands, agenda from the president on down. It takes people on the ground to actually implement it.
That's right. Well, and when I saw the name of your group, your organization here, Multiple Use Advocacy, I think of so many great champions for multiple use here in Montana, the snowmobilers, the Kerry Whites of the world with Citizens for Balanced Use that have been fighting for decades as well about multiple use access. You know, some of these folks on the left, it's like, you know, they just want to go, and no offense to bird watchers here, but I'm just saying, but they think that these public lands should just be for them to go out and look at birds. It's like, no, we got people that want to hunt. We got people that want to fish. We've got folks that want to use side-by-sides and get out there and enjoy. And in fact, motorized recreation is the largest chunk of our outdoor economy. But these same people who want to talk about the importance of outdoor recreation to the economy, they never want to talk about the importance of motorized recreation.
Well, that's the exact beauty of multiple-use lands. We can go bird watching in an area that's being developed for oil and natural gas because you might have a lease of, you know, 5,000 acres, but a very small portion of that is actually being developed. So this false choice between, oh, it's all got to be locked away. It can't be accessible to the snowmobilers, or it can't be accessible to productive uses like mining, ranching. It's just a wrong concept. It's multiple use. It's coexistence of many different uses on the land.
That's right. It reminds me of the Anwar oil debate back in the early 2000s. I was working for former Senator Conrad Burns then, and, you know, the radical environmentalists, oh, if we build that pipeline, it's going to be awful for wildlife. And then you would see the caribou just hanging out under the pipelines in Alaska all the time. They loved hanging out by the pipelines. Kathleen Sagama, great to have you on this show. And how can folks get a hold of you if they want to partner with you?
Well, I appreciate that. My website is MU for multiple use, muadvocacy.com. And so I can be reached there.
All right. Well, great to have you on the show. Excited about what you're going to be doing. Keep us posted, and we'll have to get you back on the program again. Greatly appreciate your time here this morning. All right. As we run into the next break, we've got a few minutes left this hour of the show. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to react to the conversations we've been having already, you can give us a call, 406-294-0970. I've got a few app messages that came in on the Montana Talks app that I want to get to here during the break as well. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, something I didn't get to yesterday. I wanted to get to this yesterday in our 9 o'clock hour, but we just had so many calls coming through. We didn't get a chance to get to it. The chairman of the Crow Tribe testified before Congress about the Mexican drug cartels targeting the reservations. And he had a lot more than just that to talk about. We'll feature some of that audio. And Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana, she also testified. She'll be with us in studio next hour.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All of these people that have been involved in what was the polluting and altering and dissembling of this intelligence, they're going to have a hard time getting out of it, because it seems to me, my analysis, and I want to see all the information before I come to my final conclusion, is that they purposely dismantled this information that was put together by the intelligence community, ordering a reassessment because it didn't have the conclusion that they wanted. The fact that this declassification is saying it came directly from Barack Obama, yeah, that would warrant him going before Congress and maybe a prosecutor and answering serious questions.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. You know, I've been buying precious metals. Somebody gave me great advice. I'm so grateful every day that I did, and I've been doing it for decades. Every paycheck I get, no matter what, I put aside a portion of money to diversify into precious metals. Now, especially during uncertain times, remember the 2008 financial crisis. Who do I choose to make my gold and silver purchases with? What company do I now use? Who do I trust? Well, I've been partnering with a great company for 3 years. I am a customer. The company's called Gold Co. Gold Co. will send you right now a free 2025 gold and silver kit to learn more about diversifying with precious metals. Now, this kit from Gold Co. has been a huge help to me. I think you'll learn a valuable lesson. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. You're not going to want to miss out. All you have to do is call no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's 855-815-GOLD, or go to the website HannityGold.com.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. The band Perry is making a comeback with a new lineup and a return to their country roots with trio behind hits like If I Die Young is back, but this time it's siblings Kimberly and Reed Perry, joined by Kimberly's husband, Johnny Costello. Original member Neil Perry is pursuing a solo career. The newly reconfigured band has signed with Make Wake Artists, the team behind Luke Combs, and reunited with their original label, Big Machine Label Group. The 8th Annual Nashville Songwriter Awards are set for September 23rd at the iconic Ryman Auditorium, hosted by the Nashville Songwriters Association International. This year's event will honor country legends Alabama and Brenda Lee. The night will celebrate the top songs of the year with performances by Jason Aldean, Trisha Yearwood, Old Dominion, and more. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This summer.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this is incredible. I sent a message to our producer, Caden, a few minutes ago. I said, hey, Caden, could you get a hold of the Big Sky Balloon Rally folks and see if there's any chance we could get the pilot of the Riverton, Wyoming hot air balloon on the show? So if you saw my post on X earlier this morning, this was incredible. The Riverton, Wyoming hot air balloon literally came right next to the tower here. We are the top floor of the Doubletree Hotel downtown Billings, and this hot air balloon flew right next to us. It was like a Top Gun moment, a flyby of the tower. Andy Samuelson is apparently that pilot and is now with us. Andy, great to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry for not calling ahead and seeing if we could buzz the tower.
I was going to say, did you request a flyby, or you just said, we're doing it live?
No, it was Top Gun style. I think you guys might have declined it, but we flew by anyway. So. No, it was a great flight. We launched there at Eamon Park, middle of Billings area, you know, and came out your way. And we thought, well, we might get between the Wells Fargo and the Doubletree there, but we were on the other side of it there, on the south side.
That was incredible. How many feet do you, because you were literally, like, the top of your balloon was parallel with us. We were, like, looking at the top of your balloon, and so how close do you think you were, 30 feet, 50 feet?
Yeah, right in there. I was going to say 30 to 50 feet, so, yeah, that's a pretty good estimate. Our basket, anyways, you know, from the balloon. Maybe the equator of the actual balloon itself, the envelope, might have been a little closer. But, yeah, we were probably two-thirds of the way up there. I don't know what floor we were on, but it was kind of, we didn't know if there'd be anybody inside yet, you know, working.
But nobody flashing yet.
They were waving at us, and so we waved back, and, yeah, they were some people taking pictures, so you get some of those photos.
Was that your intended flight path? And what were you guys saying while you were in your bucket of the hot air balloon? Because I posted some videos, so you can hear us talking about Top Gun and you guys doing the flyby of the tower, and it was so fun to see. But what were you guys talking about while you passed while you buzzed the tower?
We had a couple of sponsors. You know, our balloon rally can't function without sponsors, and so. Valley Credit Union, we had two ladies from the Valley Credit Union out there, and we were looking at their parking garage, just, you know, we were joking about landing up on top of the top floor of their parking garage, but, you know, as a pilot, I was making sure that we were paralleling and not getting any closer. If we were getting closer, we'd have to go up and over.
Wow.
There's a lot of caution that takes place, you know, as you do something like that, you know, a maneuver that we're going to get close to any obstacles on the ground. But
yeah, because it was morning drive traffic. I thought at first it looked like you might land right on Montana Avenue, maybe in the Doubletree parking lot. But then you guys lifted off, you climbed higher, and like I say, just ran right next to us here.
Yeah, no, it was a great flight. We ended up landing right across from the metro at the First Interstate Arena, just across the street from it. There's an empty lot. Our chase crew is waiting. And we had a beautiful little landing. We came in there pretty steep. There's a lot of power lines and stuff in that area. We've got to be careful of those. And our crew put weight on the basket, and we pulled our vent and laid it down nicely after letting our passengers out. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, great little spot to pack up.
And, well, whatever Riverton, Wyoming paid you for marketing, they didn't pay you enough, because that was a genius move. Because, you know, a lot of those balloons, they're so far away, you can't really see who's on the side of it. But I can see Riverton, Wyoming right up close and personal.
Riverton does own the two balloons. There's a white one and a black one. They're both in Billings, actually. We're all volunteers, so we're a nonprofit. So I just volunteer. I fly for them. So, yeah, they definitely did not pay me enough, since they don't pay me at all.
Yeah. So, where are you from?
They do. I'm from Riverton.
You are from Riverton. Okay. Oh, yep. Yeah. Wow. Well, you made my morning. I appreciate it. That was so cool. And we had people listening that were watching it from their cars on the way into work, too. And so, no, I appreciate it. That was awesome. Andy Samuelson, thank you so much for calling in. That was fun.
Yeah, thanks for getting a hold of me. It's kind of hard to track down a balloon once we leave you and head on our way. So.
Our producer, Caden, got it done. He made it happen. So thanks to Caden as well. All right. Who was there in 1999 for the Halloween night fire in Outlook, Montana? It was local commercial radio stations pumping out important emergency information. Who was there recently when a fire nearly took out several homes in Malta, Montana? It was a local commercial radio station. No offense, it wasn't PBS or NPR. That's part of what we talked about on Wednesday's Montana Talks. What are we going to talk about Thursday? Why don't you tell us? Phone lines are open. Montana Talks. Smokey
the Bear. After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.